Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Brissett in an empty gun, trips to the left, back looking to his right, throwing to his right in the end zone. McBride turned Marquise Bell inside out. Touchdown, Arizona.
Good morning, Metroplex. This is the Tolo Tuesday edition of Sean and RJ. Bobby Belt is in studio as well, back from the stadium. We got Jake in for Pepe, Aiden in the back, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube.
Man, this is one of those just refreshing days. Yeah, my college football season's over, and so is my NFL. And now I can just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the NFL season and the rest of the college football season, if I decide to watch any of the games of college football the rest of the way, because my season's over. But this is one of those days. It's like, okay, you know, the relationship's over. I didn't want it to end, but
it's so the stage of grief.
I don't know, seventh. I'm at the seventh stage of grief. I don't even think it goes that deep. But
all right, we got denial.
No, I'm not in denial.
We have anger.
No, way past that.
We have bargaining.
Nah, I think bargaining was that they were going to hit the over last night.
We have depression.
Nope, no, way past that one.
And an acceptance.
Acceptance, there we go.
I'm there too. High five on acceptance.
I went through it. High five.
No, he's not at acceptance.
I went through
this it. This is definitely denial already.
Of?
Because he's denial that he's bugged by, definitely about Tennessee. That's denial that I'm not even bugged. Tennessee season is over.
No. I'm bugged. It's just like, it's over.
This is like,
and now I can just.
No, this is a manic stage of like, everything's fine. What are you talking about? Like, that's, he's holding the coffee mug in the fiery house right now. That's what he's doing.
That could be.
27-7. I woke up this morning, I opened up the box score, and I was like, wait, it was only 27-17? It felt like much worse. This felt like a 34-17.
It felt like Arizona put up 40. It felt like they rushed for about 6 yards per carry on you. They rushed for a little over four. It was 4.1. It definitely did not feel like that. It didn't feel like you, and I know a lot of it happened at the end, didn't feel like you had five sacks and just were wrecking the offensive line. But this is bad. This is 2 weeks in a row that you've really just essed the bed on both sides of the ball.
By two franchises that own you, basically.
Yeah. You go back to their last 8 games against the Broncos, their last 9 games against the Cardinals, the Cowboys are 1-16.
Damn!
Yeah. The only game they won was the lock arms, kneel down Monday night game.
Oh, gosh.
I think the stage in which I'm in, I have a little bit of anger only towards what I think Jerry Jones is angry about, and it was extra testy last night in the post-game press conferences. Bobby was there for Jerry. You had Dak. You had Schottenheimer. Everyone is testing. I think what Jerry Jones lost last night was not just the football game. It was his opportunity to sell a trade in the second half of the season. Because if you're sitting there and keep us on the hook for a little bit longer. You could have kept me on the hook through the bye week. And maybe you come out and you beat the Raiders and you got a new body or two, and hey, the NFC East, the Commanders are finished. The NFC is open with Green Bay and other teams losing. And I think the extra annoyance and irritation last night from Jerry Jones was knowing that he stepped in front of everyone at Texas Live. And again, after 15 years, we still don't have a name for this, but I coined it the public press conference mistakes that you're going to make. And he had a packed house there in Arlington and Michael Irvin and Stephen A. Smith. And he declared, oh, we've made a trade. The trade is happening and we may be making more, because he believed, just like I did, that they were going to win this game. But without winning the game, now it's really, really, really almost impossible to sell it, and it may be negligent and an absolute reach to do anything with today's trade deadline. That's the part where I'm like, I wanted a little bit of hope with some type of move, but that hope was contingent upon a win over the Cardinals.
Yeah, because you have to – I think you can lose maybe one more game the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that even feels like maybe a stretch.
10-6-1 might do it. It might do it. Like short of getting, like if you could sell me on a, you could sell me on Patrick Surtain tomorrow. That's a long-term play.
Sure.
You could
They're not going to trade him.
They're not going to trade him. That's out of the question. You could sell me on that tomorrow. I had guys in my group chat saying it's time to give up 3-1s for Myles Garrett. I'm sorry.
Okay, Philly.
I'm sorry. I think we're way past that.
Okay, Nick Eatman.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Nick would never identify somebody. That's true. So you gotta
maybe in
that.
A group chat, but not on the air.
Maybe they would.
You know, the extra worry in last night's embarrassment was the offense. Normally, we're starting every single Cowboy Monday or Tuesday talking about the defense and how wretched and embarrassing it is. But this offense now has looked broken in the past two games. Dak threw for 250, garbage time it up. The QBR was a 36.5, a 36.5. They couldn't protect him. He was beaten. He was battered. CeeDee Lamb looked, the whole thing looked clunky again.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, early on, like that, it felt like Javonte Williams got half his yards on the first series, the way he was running the ball. And I mean, 8-9 yards a carry, it felt like every single time he touched the ball early. And then they go for it on that fourth down. And it felt like after they missed that fourth down, everything was just out of sorts for them after that.
Again,
and
after the Denver fourth down.
And I mean, look, I'm not going to rip the fourth down decision. No.
I was all in on it.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with it. In fact, there was a chart out this week that if you go by the should you go for it, how it impacts your expected winning. If you look at it, Dallas goes for it in those situations where they should, quote unquote, the second fewest times in the National Football League, only ahead of Pittsburgh. And so you're talking about Tomlin and Shoddy as the ones who have been the most conservative in those situations. So I don't mind it. It's a change. But then after that, it's like they're not protecting very well. The issues with everybody's hands in this game, whether it's holding onto a football and not fumbling it or making a catch or whatever else, that was a big issue. And then there were other times it's like Dak was just not good enough. And that's the problem, is that when you've got the pressure problems you do, if he's not going to play at his all-time highest level, they're going to get wrecked.
Did you guys pick? I thought the Cowboys were going to win the game. I obviously was not in yesterday.
I think I had 36-24, something like that.
I picked 31-24.
Cowboys.
Yep.
So everybody thought, I'm assuming the Fantex was all over it as well, the Cowboys getting the W in this game. And you got handled. Special teams as well. Like, it felt like they had 35, 40-yard returns. Aubrey, whatever. It was a 68-yarder, but he still ended up missing it. Sam Williams, one of the lone highlights. This is Arizona's.
Imagine knowing that you got handled on special teams and you scored a special teams touchdown.
Right. Arizona's fourth straight win against the Cowboys without Kyler Murray. Like, Russell Wilson resurgence. This is Jacoby Brissett resurgence. They're going to keep Kyler Murray on the bench now. What did you think was the turning point in this game?
I don't know that it's resurgence, by the way. This may be surgeons.
Yep,
this may be the first time, because he has never been anybody I've been worried about.
Yeah. Honestly, it was the fourth down stop on the first drive.
Really?
Because after that, it looked like the Cowboys had lost their edge. They were cooking. They were moving that ball downfield. They get the fourth down, and I was fine with it. I was fine with going for it. And then they get stopped. And after that, it was just like, okay, it's all Arizona. I guess another one, if you wanted to say the Ferguson fumble could be one.
Yep.
But, man, it just felt like after that fourth down stop, a lot of the air got taken out.
I mean, they scored after the Ferguson fumble, because it was the next series. Yeah. They get the stop, and then you get the Sam Williams block, and they recover it.
That's when Stephen A. rolled out.
And when you look at this was the breakdown of the individual plays on the opening drive. Javonte Williams for 9, Williams for 8, incomplete to Schoonmaker, a drop. Dak to Pickens for 16, Dak to Lamb for 15, Javonte Williams for 11, and then you're at first and goal from the 7, and it's Javonte Williams for -2, short right to Ferguson for five, incomplete to Ferguson, not a drop, but maybe one you expect him to catch typically, and then Dak sacked for seven with Tyler Guyton getting beat. And it's just after that little series, that four-play stretch, they crumbled after that offensively.
Joe Buck just hammering Brian Schottenheimer and the decision to go for it on the other fourth down, which Babe Laufenberg then later tweeted, call me old school, I'm going ahead and kicking the three, making it a seven-point game. Brian Schottenheimer afterwards on the fourth down aggression.
Yeah, I mean, Todd, we were going to be aggressive all game. I mean, that was part of the deal. And like I've told you guys, if I like the call, I'm going to go. And I trust our offense. But we didn't make the plays tonight. And that comes same thing in the red zone. You know, first drive of the game, felt really good about the call. We didn't get a chance to execute it, but we were going to go into this game and be aggressive because we felt like it was going to give us the best chance to win.
So, Choppy, I think you went to the fourth down analytics on social media for that second decision that is in major question. What did you think of it, and what did the numbers say?
My first thought, I was like, I don't know. I don't know what to do there on that one. And then I went to the numbers, and
because I think it was 27-10.
Yeah.
27-10.
It's fourth and three at the Arizona 21, basically right at the start of the fourth, right?
Yeah.
It said, so the numbers say your win percentage if you go for it, just going for it, regardless of outcome, was 6%. Your win percentage if you do a field goal attempt was 5%. If you succeed in getting the first down, your win percentage was 9%. If you fail, it's 5. You have less than a 10% chance of winning anyway. So it's like, okay, I see why you would go for it. In the moment, I was like, I don't know. You need 3 scores anyway, right? Even if you get the first down, you're going to need 3 scores still. So you might as well just kick it. But looking at the numbers, that it's less than 10% chance of winning regardless. All right, fine.
How'd you feel about it, Bobby, the other fourth down?
I didn't hate it. You needed touchdowns. And that was the thing, is that you were just not executing. And again, the red zone, or no, that's not quite the red zone where they were at, but just in general, more 21. That the field is tightening on them, the more that they're having problems executing. And, you know, that was something that I know they're going to have attention to on the bye week this week, will be those sort of things. But man, to me, it's not the issue of should you have gone for it. It's just, you need a better play than that. You need the ability to get something out and pick up 3 yards faster.
The issue is you made it to the fourth quarter without an offensive touchdown. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big issue.
Now, Jerry, should you avoid making any type of deal after that loss with the deadline today?
Again, I hear opinions, and you can rest assured that at least through my mind, that all those considerations are there. It was there before this game. It was there when we started the season about whether you make a trade or not. But what's got this on point is tomorrow's our trade deadline. And we've either got to or get off the pod by tomorrow afternoon.
I hear opinions. Again, I hear opinions. That was set up with Troy Aikman said, and when he said Troy Aikman, like, I don't know. You could almost just see, I think, from Jerry, just like, what? What did he say?
Now my worry is a reach. Worry is Mingo 2.0, where it feels like you're scrambling. We have to do something. We have to do something. Season's slipping away. It may already be over, and we have to maintain. That's the difference here versus other organizations that don't worry about the circus and the headlines as much. The second half of the season, it's like, all right, let's pack it in. Let's be smart. Let's try to load up draft picks and fix this thing with all defensive players or cheaper contracts. My worry is that Jerry, after last night, is even more aggressive in making sure whatever deal gets done because of the desperation that they are absolutely in. So what is the status of things? Did something actually get worked out? Brian Broad is saying he does not believe yesterday on G-Bag, not the post-game show, but G-Bag, is that I don't think anything is actually done. How did every single NFL insider, more on this at 6:40, but how did no one track this story? You know, Adam Schefter and Jay Glazer called the Miami Dolphins, called the Cincinnati Bengals, called around the league to try to get the story that Jerry floated. What is there to it?
They the way Jerry made it sound was he basically has a pact with a team that says, we're playing football tonight. We're not going to be able to finalize the deal until tomorrow. So you're going to agree not to talk about this trade anywhere because, you know, you don't want to potentially lose our interest, make us back off. And we're not going to talk about it because we don't want to expose to the rest of the league that we're about to get a certain someone, but we can't execute the trade until tomorrow. And we don't want 30 other buyers jumping in at the last second and go, wait, what's Dallas giving you for him? Oh, we'll go above that.
More on the trade possibility at 6:40, but it's becoming customary the day after a game. Star Down, brought to you by Wild Fork Foods and Johnson Fitness and Wellness. Your Cowboys report card from another miserable one is next.
But first, look, affordability is the biggest problem in today's car market. New vehicles average nearly $48,000, and most people's wages just haven't kept up. That's why some are stuck with 7-year loans just to make the payments work. At D&M Leasing, they solve that problem with the Easy Lease. They offer lower monthly payments, no money down, and terms that make sense. Don't overpay. Solve that payment problem with the Easy Lease. Look, D&M knows how much trust you're putting in them when you're getting into a new vehicle, and they don't take it lightly. That's why D&M has been the right fit for so many of our friends, family, and neighbors. I've told you guys, if you ask around your social circle, if you ask neighbors, if you ask friends, just say, hey, have you ever worked with D&M? I promise you're going to find people who have and absolutely loved it. This is the same D&M Leasing that Cars.com ranked the top leasing company in the country for the 11th year in a row and best overall dealership for customer experience in the Southwest region of the United States. Join 50,000 other satisfied customers by calling 817 or 972-35-LEASE. That's 817 or 972-35-LEASE or visit us online at dmautoleasing.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're going to get to Christy Scales in just one second. But we have been talking about the Sandlot swinging for a cause and getting a table for that extravaganza. Now, the last I saw, Sean and RJ, they were beating us pretty good yesterday with $2,500.
We're currently at $1,500.
Well, we are currently at...
I just tweeted out that we'll have an announcement at 10:40.
10:40? I was going to make the announcement right now!
If you would like to bid, you can go ahead and reach out right now to Alec Medford.
$5,000 is the current top bid for the KNC Masterpieces table at Swinging for a Cause. Good to see you, Bobby. Right now, let's welcome in sideline reporter, newsbreaker extraordinaire. It is Christy Scales. Good morning.
Is it?
Yeah, today
man,
sucks.
You're right. Yeah.
Man, like... If I'm just being honest, and this isn't going to be in the form of a question, I'll just warn you of that. It felt like the one thing I could hold on hope to is, regardless of who we played at home, the offense showed up and showed out. Whether it was a supposed good defense, a mediocre defense, or a bad defense, we were going to show up at home and put lots of points on the board. And that's why my world really got shattered yesterday, because our offense didn't show up at all yesterday.
Yeah, that's what's so disappointing, because this is the second game in a row where Dak was just consistently harassed. I know in Denver, you look at the stats, and it was only 2 sacks, but, I mean, he was affected that entire game and against a really good Broncos defense. And I know that statistically the Cardinals were average or just above average in most categories entering the game, but they did a real good job of getting to Dak. But, you know, it's the same thing with this team. I feel like a broken record. you know, it's self-inflicted wounds. And yesterday, add to the list, dropped passes, right? Weren't there three dropped passes in the first half?
Dropped.
Along with the six penalties overall, but really ill-timed holding penalties in the first half that negated a couple of third down catches. So, yeah, I mean, this team, you know, it's hard enough to beat an average Cardinals team when you're beating yourself as well. So, you know, that's what's frustrating. It's just the same old, same old. And you would think that the offense would come in guns blazing against that unit. But, man, and then come to find out afterwards, you know, Terrence Steele had been suffering some symptoms of migraines, right? And so his being replaced by Nate Thomas there in the fourth quarter at right tackle, you know, try and find out how much more. You know, I didn't report on Steele being injured because, you know, he wasn't receiving any medical attention on the sideline. But and he'd never admitted himself. He'd never blame anything on, you know, not feeling well, but you just wonder how much that may have played into the struggles that he had last night.
So I want to make this clear, and I know we're all in agreement on this. We want Terrence Steele to get better, to feel better, to not have to go through those migraines, because those symptoms can be absolutely brutal. That is what we can all agree on. As an aside, is there any part of you that wants to see more of Nate Thomas, either at right tackle or if you want to swap him and Guyton out? I don't know. I am excited about the potential to see a little bit more, because unfortunately it feels like Terrence Steele has struggled a good bit this year.
He has, you know, and hey, if it's a meritocracy and if you're, you know, personnel changes were made. I mean, there were some guys getting additional time, but I mean, that's part of the bye week, right?
Yeah.
Is to assess it. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes out and who, you know, if there's any shared reps or any changes at tackle, you know, next week once they come out of the bye. So I think that certainly is something to watch for.
Now, you had mentioned the penalties. You also mentioned the drop passes. I think if you throw in one more thing, that pretty much describes all of the Cowboys' offensive breakdowns this year, and that is fumbles from the running back. Like those trio of things feel like they have been at fault for almost every time the Cowboys have shot themselves in the foot.
And what was so disappointing about that with Javonte was that the previous series, he showed what a complete player he is, and by that I mean he was Johnny on the spot to recover the fumble, right? Earlier to prolong the previous series, he also had a great blitz pickup in that same series, and then let's see, that's the one that ended in a score. And then the next day, then he's the one that gives the ball up. So it's like, you know, I'm actually working on my posting for Dallas Morning News, Sports Day Online, sideline exclusive. And I had a little nugget on, oh, man, Javonte, look at this great off-the-ball player. It's what they'd always say. Remember, Jason Garrett would always say that about Zeke, what a great player off the ball he was in addition to good runs. And I think Javonte showed that, but then you come back the next series and then there's, you know, give the ball up again. So, yeah, that's just, it's just so frustrating. And, you know, the thing about it yesterday, there wasn't too much to cheer for in the game.
No.
And you finally get that momentum with the blocked punt, right? That was like a lightning bolt. It delivered electricity to the crowd and to the sideline. And it's your only score for the Cowboys in the first half. And then what happens after that?
Methodical drive.
Can't get off the field.
Yeah.
Can't get off the field, and they drive 11 plays, 74 yards, and extend the lead, the Cardinals' lead, to 10 points. And then, you know, the halftime, it was such a great halftime show honoring the military, and people stayed in their seats, and they were into it. And then, okay, let's get a good start to this second half, and boom, 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 three plays, and the Cardinals extend the lead to start the third quarter. And just, you know, I mean, there were very few steps forward last night, but every time they took one, it was two steps back or three steps back. and they just couldn't get anything going. And, you know, we didn't expect that from the Cowboys offense. I will say, for the Cowboys defense, as bad as it was at times, and how they couldn't, you know, get the stops on third down through the first three quarters, they did get three stops in the fourth quarter. They forced two punts, and then there was the stop on downs with just under 3 minutes to play. So they did give the offense a chance. And there was the touchdown pass to Flannoy in the fourth quarter, but the offense just couldn't take advantage, and mainly because they just didn't do a really good job of protecting Dak.
Yeah, that's got to be fixed in order for this offense to get back to what it wants to do. Christy, you've been on the sideline for some of the greatest Cowboys teams, some of the worst versions of this Cowboys teams, and where we are right now. Last night, Shoddy said, you know, he has never questioned their work ethic or their integrity, their fight. When you see these guys come off the field and go into their hey, what are we doing? What are we seeing? Are you seeing that same level of intensity in that group?
I am, and that's what's frustrating is they're just getting beat. It's just getting it's not effort, it's execution. I mean, what are the things on defense? Alignment, assignment, execution. Right?
Yeah.
Alignment, assignment, execution, and all the communication errors for, you know, through the first half of the season, that's alignment and assignment, right? And then executing some missed tackles, you know. So sometimes you just get beat. Sometimes you just don't have the horses, right? And so you try and make a move today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like everyone's like, oh, you know, pass rusher. Well, heck, you need help at all three levels of the defense, do you not?
Yes.
So you address one of them, and maybe there's more to be addressed as we go on today, but yeah, it's very, very frustrating. But you're asking me, am I seeing lack of effort? No. I think the guys are giving their best, but so far it hasn't been good enough. And the other thing is, it's such a small margin of error, right, in the NFL, because the talent is really so close that you just can't have these self-inflicted wounds. And, you know, they're just, you know, beating themselves as well as getting whooped by the other team. So
What do you know about Logan Wilson, the potential trade of him, and what is, like, how he might help and affect this team?
Well, I don't know if he was inactive yesterday just because they were trying to, you know, save him for a trade,
yeah.
Knowing that was coming up. But I know that his playing time had gone down recently these last few weeks. I think that it's an affordable thing, right? You're going to owe him, what, just under $2.5 million,
yep,
dollars for the rest of the season. And then, you know, he has base salaries just at $6 and $6.5 million the next 2 years. So, you know, not a lot of risk there. And you need improved play at linebacker. So that's been it. You know, weren't we kind of in agreement that we liked kind of what we saw in training camp at linebacker and weren't expecting this in the regular season? Or
yeah, whoops.
Am I
saw what I saw.
What we saw in camp.
Yeah. I saw what I saw in camp. I know what I saw, and it has not translated to the next part of the schedule.
Are the Logan Wilson types of moves, because you mentioned his salary of the next 2 years and none of that is guaranteed, which I think is absolutely a positive. Are those the only kind of moves that make sense to you for the Cowboys today, like players that are potentially under control for multiple years as opposed to a rental, which, I'm going to be honest, makes literally no sense to me?
I would say no. I say swing for the fences, you know, because the offense, I know that they struggled last night, but this is a very good Cowboys offense. And do you know if you're going to have this same offense moving forward? Are you going to have Pickens next year?
Right.
You know, I'm just talking about contract-wise. What is the state of the NFC East? I mean, the Eagles have done better the past few weeks, but they've got flaws. The NFC is still pretty much wide open, at least from a wild card standpoint. I know Seattle and Sam Darnold looked terrific the other day, but they looked terrific on Sunday night. But guys, you can't. I know some people are saying don't give up any of the picks and don't give up any of your young players, but how many chances are you going to have with an offense that is really this good and this dynamic, notwithstanding last night with those
or the week before
wounds and drop passes? But guys, I am not for play for picks later on and better seating and stuff. Loser mentality. I'm sorry. I'm sick of it. And I don't want the Cowboys to ever subscribe to that. So I say if there is a move to make, by golly, go for it.
Okay. You know that I love you.
I know you disagree with me, and that's fine.
We are.
No, I mean, that's why we have talk radio,
yeah,
right?
We are.
I'm telling you how I feel because, you know, I see it on the sideline. I see the work that they put in. I know that, you know, the amount of time that we get in the locker room, or I do a lot of events with these guys, you know, whether it's community service or corporate partnerships kind of stuff, you know, and you just don't want to give up on anything yet.
And
as bleak as it's been for this defense, you know, get help at a couple of levels, and maybe so. They just need to be average. They just need to be good enough to set up the offense. And they actually did that in the fourth quarter last night, and at least giving the offense a chance, and the offense didn't come through. So you know, maybe it's because you got to be out there every day at the star, but I don't want to give up on anything at this point because it would make for a dreary rest of the season.
You are 100% right about that. I think when I look at it right now, you need to go 6-2 the rest of the way to make the playoffs. And I just don't see a way in which this Cowboys team, even a turbocharged Cowboys team, goes 6-2 when you haven't even gotten to, like, theoretically the tough part of your schedule. That's my issue. And I hear you. I guess I don't view it as having a loser mentality. I view it as you're not going to make it to where you want to be this season. That's almost a done deal. So I think you're chasing good money. I think you're chasing bad money with good money if you make moves today.
It's just one of those things where don't you wish the trade deadline were a couple weeks deeper
for
into
sure.
the season?
For sure.
Honestly, you know, because that would change a lot of things for a lot of teams, and you'd have more sellers, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you on that.
And I know that it's a little later than it was as recently as, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
And they're still pushing to move it.
Recently that they pushed it back by a week or two.
Yeah.
But I would be in favor of pushing it back further. But, you know, the other thing is, playing the Cardinals, I'm not surprised because it's just freaky things happen with the Cardinals. Ever since they went to the NFC West in realignment in 2002, just bad. It doesn't matter what the record for the Cardinals is or the Cowboys.
Right.
The Cardinals are just somehow have the Cowboys number. And in fact, I'll let you guys guess who was the quarterback for the Cowboys the last time the Cowboys beat the Cardinals at home.
Steve Pelleur.
Oh my gosh! Is that the answer? That'd be amazing. I was just going to say Romo.
Maybe Troy Aikman,
I was going to say
know.
Romo.
Your answer, actually, Drew Bledsoe.
Oh,
that's how long it's been 20 years since the Cowboys have a home victory against the Cardinals. And to Keyshawn Johnson, Peerless Price was on that team. Lusaka Polite.
I was on.
Marion the
at
Barbarian
that
scored twice, and it's
wow.
Like, yeah. So I'm just saying, it's been a while.
Outstanding.
We'll fix that soon.
Yeah, outstanding stuff as always. We thank you for everything that you do, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Sounds good, and thank you for agreeing to disagree.
There you go.
We can all do that.
Yeah,
it's
for
okay.
Sure.
I love it.
There
Bye,
you
Christy.
Go. Christy Scales right here on 105.3 The Fan. And that is one of the things that I really like about that perspective is I think it's totally fine to disagree. And Corey and I disagree about things all of the time. It's just if you're like,
fight about it.
Yeah. If you're like, I disagree and here's why. Not, oh, you're an effing moron, blah, blah, blah. Then like, how's the rest of that conversation going to go, you suppose?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It was. There's something about the Arizona Cardinals that make the Cowboys a just much lesser version of themselves. The offensive line is starting to become a big-time issue. I mean, your offense just in general right now, I think it starts with your offensive line, though. But a couple of the things from it yesterday, Deron Bland, Jake Ferguson, just nightmare nights, I think Marquise Bell has really reduced himself to, should you even be on the roster?
Probably not.
Kind of conversation.
Maybe he's a special teamer.
Not playing well.
I mean, dude, they had one of those drives where they're just throwing it into the flat every time. I mean, every time.
And they asked
all the way down the field, dare you to tackle.
Asked him to cover McBride, too, and that was a tough one for him as well.
Oh, on the touchdown?
Well,
yeah.
A couple different times. He could have got called for holding a couple more times in that game that they didn't call. So, yeah, it was a problem.
The Cowboys should get screwed on the Pickens no call in the end zone. That should have extended a drive for him. I mean, there was a couple questionable calls. I also thought...
The fumble recovery from Javonte Williams.
He goes out of bounds and then comes back. That should have been an illegal touching. But you know what? It is what it is. They didn't play well enough to win that football game, so they're not going to get the benefit. But the penalties are a problem yet again for this football team on both sides of the ball.
I thought the Pickens unsportsmanlike was pretty soft.
Absolutely was, but the NFL is emphasizing that.
That's true.
He's got to know better.
It's a bit of a reputation one. I felt like he's been flirting with it. And he's done a nice job, but I think being down like that maybe got the worst out of him.
Yeah, I hate the call, but...
Good time for a reminder what we need to be focused on. But, like, showing the ball to somebody, were you pointing or were you showing the ball? I think maybe if you're a player that doesn't have the background that George Pickens does, the refs don't see it as you're showing the ball to the defender. Because it's George, but whatever. He's been good. Yeah. I mean, what do we got? Two silly fouls in a half season? I'll take it.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll tell you what, the bright spot, we mentioned it earlier, Donovan Ezeraku, career high 5 pressures against the Cardinals. Also had that sack. That was awesome. Jadeveon Clowney, team high 6 pressures and a sack. So he's starting to come on pretty nicely right there. Get a little pass rush going, but definitely nice to see Ezeraku be a guy that is starting to play like the guy that we thought he was going to be when they drafted him. For sure.
Yeah. Been awesome.
That's one of those guys. You know, I think they're needing to add 6 good players by next year, and hopefully Ezeraku can be a big part of that. Quinnen Williams is one. I don't know if Logan Wilson's one. You know, there's an interesting debate going on about him. But I hope he's at least your best linebacker right now.
He's the one that'll play the best in coverage.
Okay. He's an upgrade over what they got.
Yeah, because he's a really good zone player. He doesn't like drift. You know, sometimes these guys, like, you've seen, like, James, because he hasn't played a lot of snaps as a cover guy. But then you get a guy like Murray that just doesn't really have that spatial awareness when it comes to where guys are around him or where he is on the field.
Yeah.
And so that becomes a problem. And I think Logan Wilson's one of those guys that is much better in those those types of situations.
Yeah, Bobby had the nugget, which is just ridiculous. First of all, it's just funny that the second worst defense in the league is the Cowboys, and they went to upgrade their defense by taking a player from the worst defense in the league and have been for the last couple of years in the Cincinnati Bengals. Just that right there is funny. But Logan Wilson has four passes defended this season, and that's more than any Cowboys player.
Yeah, that was funny. I heard him talking about that this morning. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. And then Joe Goodberry, who covers the Bengals, says, like everyone on this Bengals defense, Logan Wilson was struggling, seemed to step slower, had to deal with blockers more often, and missed a handful of tackles. But he was still their best linebacker and had some very good games in 2025. He was dominant in week one, he says, showed some signs of life in a reduced role the last few weeks. If he looks better in a new setting, I wouldn't be shocked. So those are some encouraging things for sure as it pertains to Logan Wilson.
How would you imagine they play him and Overshown together? Can you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the middle
is really Logan Wilson.
The guy, I think that Quincy Williams from the Jets that we were talking about, I think he's more of a Overshown kind of a player, whereas I think that our guy from the Bengals is more of a inside Mike linebacker type.
Because he's been listed as weak side for them. They must have liked their Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, but he can play.
He can play it, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I would assume your best three would be you go Shamar James, Logan Wilson, Overshown when he against the Raiders. And then you can rotate in Marist and maybe you don't have to play Kenneth Murray.
Will this be the game that we look back on Marvin Harrison Jr.'s career of like when he really put it all together?
Who they play next week? Who's Arizona play next week?
For his sake, I would hope the Bengals, but I'm not sure who the Cardinals play next week.
I can look that up. Dawson's real quick here.
Breaking Deron Bland's ankle.
Seattle.
Oh. Yeah.
One catch, 7 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. Jacoby Brissett will look like Jacoby Brissett once again and not look
No, I'm talking about Marvin Harrison.
No, I know, but just in general, the entire Cardinals offense is going to take a giant step back next week when they go up against a competent defense. And the Seahawks actually have one of the best defenses. But when he scored that touchdown and broke the ankles of Deron Bland.
Goodness.
That like we could have just cut the lights out and all put ourselves to bed.
Played him slow off the line, man.
I and then even CeeDee Lamb, they pan over to him and he's like, as one of the dominant receivers in the league, he is still jarred by how incredible that play was. I mean, my goodness. So last night was a struggle bus across the board. But, hey, we got Quinnen Williams, so we can all smile for that. Now, we'll see if we get any more trades coming up here over the next 7 or 8 minutes. Adam Schefter did say that A.J. Brown.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.